In the name of God, who created us, who redeems us, and who sets our souls on fire, please be seated. I love that evocation of the Trinity, of the holy active force of creation, of the love, of the challenge, of the transformation that is God's action in our lives, the energy, forward movement, and the hope that we celebrate today. As you know, when the earliest theologians tried to describe God, they spoke of three ways of knowing God. They said there were three persons, three beings, interacting with each other, different in their action, yet the same in substance. The Trinity, three in one, one in three. First, the Creator God, who Jesus called Abba, Father. Then Jesus, the Messiah, a tangible, visible model for our lives, who says the Father is in me and I am in the Father. And the Spirit, through which we connect with and can take on the roles of Jesus and the Creator. Today, continuing to describe God, we have many descriptions of the Trinity. An apple with a core, with a seed in it, fruit, and then the skin. Or a musical composition, the imagination that brings it forth, the written score, and then the music that rings in our ears. Yet none reveal the reality. Our minds are unable to grasp the infinite being, which is God. The British theologian John Macquarie has actually used a beach ball to help describe the Trinity. If it had three colors and I threw it to you, you might catch it and only see the red color. And then if you threw it somewhere over here, they might see blue and so on. It would have three colors on the outside, but the inside would be the same. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Creator, Christ, Holy Spirit. Different on the outside, yet all the same inside. We connect with God in different ways, at different times in our lives. Perhaps we're moved to pray to the Father or the Creator, or to Jesus, or to the Spirit. Wherever is most comfortable for us to connect, it is always the same God. We find in the Hebrew Scriptures that the Spirit is feminine, and it's called wisdom, or ruah, Hebrew meaning breath or spirit. We hear that wisdom existed before creation began, was there when the seas and the skies were brought forth. Wisdom spoke through the prophets, calling people to return to God when they had wandered far away. Became human in Jesus, and today connects us with God through the Spirit. We find the same perspective in the much-loved opening verses of the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was spoken through the prophets and made flesh in Jesus. And in Jesus we have seen God's glory, full of grace and truth. From God's fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. So we can see the continuity of the Trinity in Scripture, and we can try to envision those three persons with one essence. But no one's going to ask you at the end of this sermon, what is God and what is this Trinity that we believe in? For that matter, no Christian is ever asked to believe in a doctrine, only in the living God. God isn't something that we'll ever be able to fully comprehend. Because our minds can't comprehend infinity, and God is infinite. God is something, a being, an energy that we can catch glimpses of, but something we will always only understand in part. But the living God is something we can know. It's something that we can experience. And the living God is something we can believe in. A few moments ago, I listed a couple of descriptions of the Trinity, and they all did describe the interaction of the creative part of God, that part of God that we know because he lived among us, and the Spirit of God, which we know today. But there was one flaw in all of those descriptions. None of them spoke of the parts of the Trinity as being in relationship, and to me, that's the most important part of all. We call God Father because Jesus called God Father, and the words show the depth and the power of the relationship between God and Jesus. But Jesus also described God as a hen gathering us, her chickens, under her wing. We know, as Jesus did, that the God we love can be described with attributes that we'd consider traditionally both male and female, masculine and feminine, but we know that God is well beyond those attributes. And Jesus assured those who loved and followed him that he would send a comforter, the Spirit of God that was in him, to be with us until the end of time. He sent the Holy Spirit, wisdom, the loving God we know today. And just as our descriptions of God fall flat if they don't reflect that deep, sustaining interrelationship, our personal experience of God is found most fully in relationship as well. For us as followers of Jesus Christ, the living God is most fully known in community, in a parish such as this one. We remember the famous words of Jesus from the Gospel of Matthew, which we pray during morning prayer, whenever two or three are gathered together in my name, I will be in the midst of them. And as you move into this time of transition, the Spirit and the community that is St. Paul's on the Green take on an enhanced meaning. Miroslav Volf of Yale Divinity School has written that churches represent communion with God that we know in Trinity. He writes, each person is indispensable to the church. All people are bearers of Christ's Spirit, taught and untaught. And all people make up the church, and all are basic to the church and to the church's witness in the world. A true church emerges when Christ's Spirit gives us the power to become part of the life of the triune God. And all life as Christ's disciples is lived as outgoing, as we give ourselves in love to others. Wolf writes, a congregation at its best is a community of grace, a welcoming, embracing community, a community that's nourished and reconciled at the Eucharist, a community that remembers its past and that hopes for its future. A parish is at its best when it sees its mission as God's mission in the world. In these weeks of Pentecost and Trinity Sunday, you begin this time of transition as a parish. And it seems to me to be especially valuable to be doing so during this time when we focus on the Spirit, on the relationship between the creative, loving, and challenging aspects of God, and on your relationships with God and with each other. The Spirit will bind you to each other in the Eucharist. The Spirit will offer you support as you consider who you were in the past and who you are today. What are your values? How are you bound together in Christ? How do you take the love that you receive here at the altar each Sunday from the altar into the street? And then, when you can rest in the uncertainty of the present, it becomes time to begin a listening a bit different to wisdom, to the Spirit. What is God dreaming of for you? What is God calling you to become 5 years from now? How will you walk with your rector into that calling? On this Trinity Sunday, as wisdom, the Spirit leads you into a time of initial uncertainty that will grow into reality and hope, the words of Roman Catholic sister Joan Chittister may hold meaning. She writes, clearly wisdom is not a gift. Wisdom is a task. Wisdom counts. Wisdom calls us, the scripture says, to know ourselves, to squeeze out every moment in life, whatever lessons it holds for us, whatever responses it demands at that time. Wisdom is not life lived wrapped in marshmallow or indifferent to the reality within us, the scriptures imply. Wisdom is not the fine art of serene oblivion. Wisdom is life peeled and cored, its attention and consciousness lived to the hilt. Wisdom speaks to all of you and to all who will come and be with you in the coming weeks. Wisdom that was one with God in creation, spoke to God's people through the prophets, became human in Jesus, is gift and hope for us today. Wisdom is a refining fire, an energy that empowers, a call that always brings new life. May you discover her at your core today and let her lead you in the months and the years to come.